All right, we are going to continue in the book of Acts, and we are going to continue where we stopped last time. And if you remember last time, we saw how the rulers, the religious leaders, came and told Peter and John not to speak in Jesus' name or to teach in Jesus' name. And so we are going to continue from verse 33 to 31. And if I give a subject, a topic that I would give today is a very important one, and that is prayer for boldness. Here in verse 23, we will start. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they release Peter and John. Let them go. But before let them go, we remember in verse 18, the religious leaders said they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. When they were released, where did they go? They went to their companions. Who are the companions? The brothers and sisters in the church. They did not go to the world. They did not go to their friends and relatives. But they went to the church, to the fellowship, the body of believers. That's where they went. A lot of times when problems happen like this, you know, some situations comes, we don't know how to deal. Sometimes we go to unsaved people who are very close to us. Because we go because we are close to them. And a lot of times they can give advice. But that advice is worldly advice that can be pleasing to the flesh, but not godly advice. If they went to their worldly friends and relatives, they would have said, for the sake of peace, they would have told them, you know, don't get too much caught up in religion. It's okay to have a little religion. There got to be a limit in serving God. And this is what happens to you when you go too much on religion. See what happened? And you get trouble with the authorities. That's exactly what the devil wants. And we need to be careful that the devil doesn't want us to get excited in Jesus. The devil doesn't want us to use the name of Jesus. The devil doesn't want us to teach in the name of Jesus. The devil doesn't want us to go really crazy for Jesus. The devil wants us to tell, okay, that's enough. You read your little Bible study today. You know, you heard the sermon today. It's enough. It's enough for you. Too much is not good for you. Because people might think that you're crazy. The devil will put all these things in the minds of the believers. Problem is, when that happens, our intimacy with the Lord, our intimate relationship, our love with the Lord becomes cold. Because there are devil is putting all these obstacles, hindrances in between you and the Lord. It's so important that we need to go to godly counsel, to godly people, to the church who loves the Lord. Because, turn with me to Romans chapter 1 verse 12. How Apostle Paul showed that we have a mutual faith with one another. Romans 1:12 says here, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Even Apostle Paul said, I will be encouraged with you together because we have a mutual, an intimacy, a love relationship, faith, that faith in Christ Jesus. Because as Christians, we need to understand that we are related to each other. You and I, and all the brothers and sisters who live other parts of the world, no matter where they live, they are related to us. I am related to you. more than my own brothers and sisters. How is that? How did that relationship come? Well, how does relationship comes anyway? Through blood, right? Your family, your father, mother, sisters, brothers and sisters, you are related through blood. That's how you become a family. Well, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of our Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have a blood relationship, not through our ancestors, our physical fathers or mother, but through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because His blood has cleansed us from all sins. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us brothers and sisters. That's why, if you go to another country, all right, and you don't know anybody in that country, but you come a person and you get to know that person is a Christian, that same faith that you have, same God that you worship, same Lord Jesus Christ that died for you, and you can call that person brother or sister in Christ. We become brothers and sisters. So the apostle John and Peter, they did not go to their closest relatives or friends, but they went to the church. That's where you get godly counsel. And what did they do? Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they reported everything what happened. How the religious leaders of that day told them not to speak in the name of Jesus or not to teach in the name of Jesus. You know, even today, this speaking of Jesus during those days, the devil didn't want to talk in Jesus' name. It's the same today, because it's the same devil who wants to stop not talking of Jesus. So if you talk even today, you can talk of any other subject. You can talk of any other subject. You can talk on politics, sports, or even any other religious leader you can talk. But talk the name of Jesus, people get upset. I mean, we are talking the true biblical Jesus, Jesus of the Bible. People get disturbed, upset. But it's so important that we need to understand what the Word of God says more than what the world says, what the tradition says. So today you can speak any other name, but when you talk on Jesus' name, people get upset, they get disturbed. In this particular case, why is it that the religious leaders of that day, the chief priests and the Jewish leaders, did not want the disciples to speak in Jesus' name? Why? Because they are convicted, they are guilty of a crime they committed, because they are the one who sentenced Jesus to death. And they know it's a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. They are the one who sentenced Jesus to death, and they realize now Jesus has risen from the dead. So they are convicted, they are guilty. And also, they are aware that a crippled man who was 40 years old was healed. Healed by whose authority? Healed by whose name? By the name of Jesus Christ he was healed. So there is power in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, he is alive, he heals people. And he healed this crippled man. There were about thousands of people who witnessed that. That was a fact. And that's why they are guilty and they are convicted, and they don't want them to speak or to teach in Jesus' name. The other thing is, the devil doesn't want us to talk in Jesus' name because people are getting saved if you talk in Jesus' name. Remember, Peter and John, they spoke in Jesus' name, they taught in Jesus' name, 3,000 people got saved, and next time we see another 5,000 people got saved. And when you talk and speak on Jesus' name, when you preach in Jesus' name, people get saved. People who are in the kingdom of darkness, who are captive by the devil, and they are released and taken to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So what happens is souls who are taken captive by the devil, now they are in the other side, on Jesus' camp. And the devil is mad. He doesn't want people to get saved. He doesn't want you to witness to anybody. He wants you to be silent. And he wants you to be, okay, that's enough. You know, you heard your sermons. Now don't go too much. Don't witness to people. If you do witness, they might think that you're crazy. You need to have peace here. If you witness, you know, problems will come. So don't witness. That's what the devil wants. The devil doesn't want people to get saved. But here, the apostles are obedient to Christ, not to the things of the world. The church is growing. The devil is mad, even when one sinner repents and come to know the Lord. It reminds me of the Roman Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. They prevented people to hear the word of God. Those days, priests used Latin, not the common language of the people. How if I give you a sermon in Latin? You know, you'll be just sitting and waiting, not knowing what's going on. It's a worship. It's more like a religious type worship, not a relationship, not a mutual fellowship. John Wycliffe, as is remembered as the morning star of the Reformation. So those days when the Roman Catholic Church was, you know, in total darkness, they used Latin in the church and people didn't understand anything. And they were kept in darkness under the bondage of religion. John Wycliffe, the morning star of the Reformation, he went village to village teaching the Bible in their own language. So people could understand for the first time what the Word of God says. And before Roman Catholic Church do any harm for Wycliffe, Wycliffe translated the Word of God to their own people's own language in England, to English language, before it was in Latin. But Rome was mad with Wycliffe. The devil was mad. The devil doesn't want the word of God to go forward. So they wanted to basically kill Wycliffe, but before they could do any harm for him, he died of a stroke. But after about 31 years later, still Rome was mad with Wycliffe because people were getting saved by Wycliffe's teachings and his writings. So you know what they did? The Roman Catholic Church, they went and dug up John Wycliffe's bones. And they burnt his bones. Can you believe that? You cannot burn a living man. Now you're burning his bones. They are so mad. That's what the devil wants. And they burnt his bones into ashes. Out of Wycliffe's teaching came another man by the name of John Huss. John Huss was a Bohemian priest. John Huss was a Bohemian priest and he wanted to teach the Word of God to the people on their own language so they can understand. So he taught the Word of God in their own language. Roman Catholic Church got so mad at John Huss. John Huss, he was a fearless preacher. This is what he said. I'm going to quote. "These priests deserve hanging in hell," shouted Huss. And John Huss went on to say, "These priests, they are fornicators, parasites, hungry for money. They are fat swine." That means they are fat like a pig. They are drunks whose bellies grow with great drinking, and gluttons whose stomachs are overfilled until their double chins hang down. You can see, he was not scared. You know what happened to John Huss, right? He was burned alive. Who killed him? The religious leaders. The religious leaders killed him. That's exactly what is happening here. It's the religious leaders that is coming against the word of God. Just because, you see, they have a Jesus, that's not the same Jesus, that's another Jesus. And we saw that last week, right? There's another Jesus, another gospel, another Holy Spirit. And the Bible says Satan comes sometimes masquerading as an angel of light. Oh, the name of Jesus. You know, the devil will try to persecute when you use the name of Jesus. And the devil persecuted and killed the Christians during that time. But the devil could not kill the gospel. Because the Jesus died and rose from the dead, and the gospel is going to continue until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Amen? Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My brothers and sisters, oh, what a powerful, sweet name we have. Jesus. He is our nearest and dearest. We are saved in Jesus' name. We live in Jesus. We die in Jesus. We go to heaven in Jesus. We have eternal life in Jesus. And the devil and his followers are, they will try to destroy the name of Jesus. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because Jesus' name is going to be there forever and ever. It is this name that is so sweet to our ears. It's the name that is so precious to our souls. It is the name that we preach. Until he comes, we are going to preach and teach Jesus' name. It is the name that we witness. It is the name that we pray. It is the name that we live and die in Jesus' name. And it is the name that we go to heaven. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Revelation chapter 5. So if you turn with me to Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside, and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. This scroll is the book of God's decrees. From the very beginning until the very end, everything is written in this book. It's God's decrees. It is laid up in God's throne. And no one in heaven or earth could accept the challenge to open the scroll and read it. Oh no, not Muhammad, not the popes, not Buddha, not Krishna, not Dalai Lama, not even the holy angels, or not even the holy prophets. No one was qualified to open this book and read. Our dearest Apostle John wept so much because there was no one qualified in heaven or on earth to open this book and read it. If there's no one who can read this, what is going to happen to us? Apostle John wept and wept and wept. Then verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Oh, my brothers and sisters, read this part every time I read it. From the bottom of my soul, tears come to my eyes and see, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just note, the heavenly elder did not say, do not weep, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can open the scroll. He did not say that, but showed the human side of Jesus and said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who was Judah? Judah was the fourth son of Jacob by Leah. How good was Jacob? We all know. He was a cheater until God changed Jacob's character, right? How good was Judah? Was he good? No. Judah had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And Jesus relates to our human nature. He came from the human side that these people like Judah and David, everybody had faults. What about David's? You know, how good was David? He committed adultery. He killed Bathsheba's husband. And we see that Jesus, he relates to these people. Jesus came from this line of humanity, who people who have sinned. And that shows he relates to us. What about us? Sinners like us. Filthy, rotten sinners like us. Jesus relates to us. That's why the Bible says Jesus is a friend of sinners. He relates to us. He came from the human side. From the human side, Jesus became our representative. He was obedient to death. Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, he is worthy to open the scroll. We praise God that we have a friend in heaven, that we can call that friend our Lord, our beloved Savior, our beloved friend, and he is there for us, and he is worthy to represent us and open this book. Isn't that marvelous? That's the good news. The name of Jesus that we live and die. You know, in verse 24, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And now they began to pray. When they heard that the authorities are telling them not to speak in Jesus' name. Now let me ask you a question. If the authorities threaten you not to speak in Jesus' name or not to teach in Jesus' name, and you go to your church and you have a prayer meeting, what will you pray? I know what we will pray. You know how we will pray? We will pray, oh Lord, protect us against these authorities, these men, that no harm will come to us. Oh, comfort us, Lord. Keep us safe. That would be a general prayer. But see how the apostles, when they were threatened, when the apostle Peter and John went and told their companions how they prayed. Verse 24, they raised their voice in one accord to God. They took this as a serious matter. Jesus told them to witness, right? Remember in the book of Acts, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, go and witness in my name, starting from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus told them to witness. Now the authorities are saying, no, you can't. So that's why now they come and pray to God. And this prayer, they are raising their voice to God. It shows they are serious. It shows that they are not timid. They are not shy to raise their voice to the Lord Almighty. They are one in mind and agreeing together. You know, sometimes when you have, this is a public prayer, right? It's not a it's not your private prayer in the closet. This is a public prayer when you pray together. You know, sometimes when you have public prayer, praying together, a lot of people pray in prayer meeting, it's like in a cemetery. It's like a lot of dead prayers, cold prayers, timid, shy prayers. But here they are praying from the bottom of their soul. You know, in public prayer, we need to raise our voices, not being ashamed, you know, not being timid or tepid or shy or cold, not being ashamed of Jesus' name. Not that people are going to hear me. Let them hear so they can be saved too. And here they are praying. It's a boiling hot prayer, raising their voice to God. But we have our individual time with the Lord in the closet. And we can pray like Hannah, how Hannah prayed. Not raising your voice that everybody can hear. Then they will say, you know, you want to show that you're like somebody. No. When you pray individually, you pray from the bottom of your soul. Also hot prayers. But comes between you and the Lord. Just like how Hannah prayed. And what did they pray to God? They acknowledged God as their creator. See, so when they heard, they raised their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and the earth and the sea. So here the authorities, earthly authorities, told them not to speak in Jesus' name. But they are praying to the heavenly authority, the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth, who is the authority over everybody's authority. And so here they're acknowledging God as the creator God. And then they quote a scripture, verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Christ. So there's a prophecy. We read that scripture today, Psalm chapter 2. It's a prophecy that the rulers, the kings of this earth, are coming against Christ. You know, it's so important that we, in our prayers, we need to quote scripture sometimes. Because it's the word of God that, when we use the word of God in our prayers, we are using the offensive weapon that God has given to us. What is that offensive weapon? The double-edged sword, the word of God. Jesus quoted scripture many times. And you cannot go to battle against the enemy, against the devil and his demons, with guns and knives and swords, right? Why? Because they are spirits. You don't see a spirit. You don't see the evil spirits. You don't see. So what do you need? You need a spiritual sword. What is a spiritual sword? The word of God. God has given us a spiritual weapon. That's the word of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Apostle Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It means the weapons of our warfare. There is a warfare, spiritual warfare. These weapons are not guns and knives and swords, no. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We got a great weapon, and that weapon is the word of God through prayer. We have the word of God and prayer. That is the weapon God has given to the saints. So because we are living in a wicked world, and you and I go through spiritual warfare every day. And how we are going to encounter the enemy is through prayer and through the word of God. That's the weapon, secret weapon that God has given to the saints. God has given us a mighty, powerful engine. The powerful engine of prayer. Prayer is the open door to God's throne. We pray to a living God, not to Buddha who is dead, not to Muhammad who is dead, not to any man who is dead. Our God is a living God. The tireless hand of God that holds the universe can touch our souls through prayer when we pray. The religious leaders commanded them not to speak or to teach in Jesus' name. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, you whom anointed Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose determined before to be done. So all what happened on the cross was according to God's decree. Okay? It was not an accident that Jesus died on the cross. It was a fulfillment of God's prophecy. It was decreed by God. Then verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word." You know, I underline that word, "we may speak your word with boldness." You know, look at their prayer. Amazing. The religious leaders commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus, not to teach in Jesus' name. Right? But now they are saying, no, we want to speak in Jesus' name. So God, give us the boldness to speak. We are not going to shut our mouth. We are not going to keep silent. No, we want to speak in Jesus' name. We are going to teach no matter what comes, because God Almighty, Jesus Christ, has told us to speak and to witness in His name. And we are not going to stop it. So, Lord, give us the boldness to do it. So they did not pray, "Oh God, keep us safe, that no harm will come to us, protect us." No. They said, "God, we want to do it. Give us the boldness." That's the true prayer. God is going to answer that kind of prayer. Because that's a fearless prayer. You're praying in faith. Because God has already told us to witness. So here, what happened? Verse 30. Goes on to say, so they prayed to give us more boldness by stretching out your hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayer. Why God answered their prayers? Because they had the right priorities in their prayers. Most of the prayers that most of us we pray today doesn't have the right priorities, because our prayers are focused on ourselves. Mostly our prayers are focused on our physical needs. Just like how the Gentiles pray. We pray, "God, give me this, give me that, I need this, I'm going through some problems, so help me this." You know, that's how any other people, you go to any other Gentile, any other religion, that's how they pray too. The prayers are focused on ourselves. But here, their prayers are focused on what God had told them to do. That means they had the right priority. That should be number one. Because Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all the others will be added unto you." See? The priority should be right first. But a lot of times we don't seek the kingdom of God first. That's the last thing we want to do. So our priorities are all messed up. So we need to pray for our Christian growth, our hunger to God, and our boldness to witness, and for our pastors, for our, you know, for the church to grow and to have a great love in the Lord, so we need to pray for these spiritual things first. Then comes our physical thing. So what happens when you pray in the right order, in a right prayer? In a right priority order, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the whole place was shaken. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak the word of God boldly. You know, you cannot speak the word of God boldly without being filled in the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a little question here for you, okay? As Christians, we need to think. We know in Acts chapter 2, they were filled in the Holy Spirit, right? Acts chapter 2. And we know that they were filled in the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. Now, Acts chapter 4, again, they are filled in the Holy Spirit. So, what happened between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4? Was there a leak that the Holy Spirit leaked and they need to be filled again? No. The Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer is a one-time act. When you become a Christian, Holy Spirit comes and lives in you forever. That's a one-time act. But the filling of the Holy Spirit can happen many times. I just want to show you that. Okay? Because Acts chapter 2, they were filled. Acts chapter 4, they are getting filled. And you can, when you go in the book of Acts, they again get filled. So, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. But the filling of the Holy Spirit can have many times. But this is a good example. So, there's something powerful when Christians get united in prayer. There's a sacred power that goes to the throne room of God. In Jesus' name. And Jesus, you know, I was just thinking today when I was thinking, meditating on my prayer, on this sermon, I was just thinking and meditating. Jesus was serious. He was committed to lay down his throne in heaven, come down to earth, and wear a crown of thorns, and go through the punishment and the mockery and the crucifixion. He was serious. And he did it. How much more we need to be serious in our obedience, in our love to the Lord. If he did that, how much more we need to be serious in our obedience. We need to have a cheerful obedience to the Lord and a love for the Lord. So we can taste the sweetness of Christ. So there's something very powerful when Christians get together, united in prayer, there is a sacred power that goes to the throne room of God. And we should pray that the Lord will fill us with the heavenly floods of his sacred power, not to be drunk in these worldly pleasures, but to be drunk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.